Now, as we pull down here, we actually still have a whole set of creatures living on the surface of the planet. So all these different dynamics going on here. In fact, I can look over here, and this is kind of a little simplified food web that's going on with the creatures. I can open this up and then kind of actually scan what exists on the surface, and you get some sense of the diversity of creatures that were brought in. You know, some of these were created by the player, others by other players, automatically sent over here. But there's a very simple little kind of calculation of what's required, how much plants are required for the herbivores to live, how many herbivores for the carnivores to eat, etc., that you're actually having to balance actively. Now, also with this phase, we're getting more and more godlike powers for the player. You can kind of experiment with this planet, again, as a toy. So I can come in and I can do things and kind of just treat this planet as a lump of clay. We have, like, very simple little weather systems you see here, very simple geology. For instance, I can open one of my tools here, and then like carve out rivers. So this whole thing is kind of like a big lump of clay, a sculpture. I can also play with the dynamics of this world over time. So one of the things I can do is start pumping more CO2 gases into the atmosphere. And so that's what I'm doing here. There's actually a little readout down there of our planetary atmospheric pressure and temperature. So as I start pumping in more atmosphere, we're going to start pushing up the greenhouse gases here. And if you'll start noticing, we start seeing the ocean levels rise over time. And our cities are going to be at risk, too, because a lot of these are coastal cities. You can see the ocean levels are rising now. And as they encroach upon the cities, I'll start losing cities here. So basically, I want the players to be able to experiment and explore a huge amount of failure space. So there goes one city. Now, over time, this is actually going to heat up the planet. So at first, what we're going to see is a global ocean rise here on this little toy planet. But then over time, and I can speed it up just a little bit, we'll actually start to see the heat impact of that as well. So not only will it get hotter, but at some point it's going to get so hot the oceans will entirely evaporate. So first they'll go up, and then they'll evaporate, and that'll be my planet. So basically what we're getting here is kind of maybe the sequel to An Inconvenient Truth, you know, in about 2 minutes. And that actually kind of brings up an interesting point about games. Now here we're, our entire oceans are evaporating off the surface. And as it keeps getting hotter, at some point the entire planet's going to melt down. Here it goes. So we're not only simulating kind of biological dynamics of food webs and all that, but also geologic, you know, at a very simple kind of coarse scale. And what's interesting to me about games in some sense is that I think we can take a lot of long-term dynamics and compress them into very short-term kind of experiences. Because it's so hard for people to think 50 or 100 years out, but when you can give them a toy and they can experience these long-term dynamics in just a few minutes, I think it's an entirely different kind of point of view, where we're actually mapping, using the game to remap our intuition. It's almost like in the same way that a telescope or a microscope recalibrates your eyesight. I think computer simulations can recalibrate your instinct across vast scales of both space and time.